Welcome to the Redneck Country Podcast, where we hope to learn by sitting around the campfire and just sharing some stories.
No, Ninja Scotty. Puts that face mask on, look out. It's like,
disappears.
Into the smoke.
He's shooting bolts that are dynamite, by the way, folks. He lights them before he pulls the trigger. You miss by 2 feet, it don't matter. Trees are coming down, stuff's dying.
Hey, folks, time coming at you.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Redneck Country Podcast. I'm here with Real Rednecks. We got Bill Tom. Are you there, Bill?
Good afternoon, everybody.
And we got Scotty Goodall. Scott, are you there?
I'm here.
He's here. And we got, again, the patriarch, just to fill some story time. Don Millard, are you there, Dad?
I am here.
Wasn't sure there for a minute. All right. Well, let's start off with what did you do this week? Bill, what did you do this week?
Holy cow, was it ever a busy week with this situation in the world going on. We've been doing an awful lot of plans and preparations at work, but to not go too deep into the work stuff, what I did this week was clean up my freezer, and unbelievable. I never realized I had that much, that many deer heads and coyote heads in my freezer.
In your freezer?
Yeah. I do a little bit of European mounts or whatever. I know that Todd doesn't like the term European mounts for the skull mounts, but I had, I don't know, 7 deer heads and 2 coyote heads that I just found in my freezer that need to have some processing done to them. So I'll be busy.
Oh, that's awesome.
obviously, I don't get deep enough into the freezer on a regular occasion because I also found 2 hides in there as well.
Hey! And you've just tanned your first hide, right?
I did, yeah, last year. I shot a buck late season, I guess it wasn't last year, but the year before. And, I took it to a point where I salted it and let it sit. And I finally decided to take on the task of tanning it with a pair on buckskin, the other side, or deerskin, whatever, soft tan. And it turned out okay, for the first attempt. I would change an awful lot of things that I did with it, but it's good enough for the first go, and pretty proud of it, to be honest with you. So,
what do you guys think of Dad Scott? We got to start saving our hides, and we can get some mitts and some toques and slippers.
I wouldn't mind a hide. I wouldn't mind one tanned either, but I wouldn't even know where to start.
Yeah, you start with driving it to
process.
Bill.
Yeah, come on up. Yeah. It's a process. The whole thing is it's time consuming because you got to watch your pH level in your water. And right. If it spikes, you got to bring it back down. But it's got to be within a specific range. And me being as OCD as I am, I was out there every 4 hours. Before I went to work, I'd check the mix and top it up to pH. The first thing I did when I got home was do the same thing. And it was very rewarding at the end to see it all come together and it looked pretty good.
Okay, now I'm confused. So what do you mean the water? Are you soaking this thing?
So what you got to do is you got to put it in kind of like a now you put me on the spot to remember the process, but you take it from once you got all the meat and stuff off the hide from the fall, like when you shoot your deer, you can take it right down to all the big heavy chunks right off it and then salt it. And once it's in the salting process, it can sit for as long as you want before you start to do the tanning process. So the first thing the tanning process is to pickle the hide. So basically, you're taking the some clean water and you're putting some chemical in there with salt in order to cure the hide so that the hair stays on and it keeps. So it's very, very in depth. It's very I took it in depth where every so often you agitate the water to make sure that all of it's getting covered with the chemical solution. And once that's done, it takes 5 days for that initial process to happen. So after that process is done, and I'm sure there's going to be listeners on here that are that maybe know a different way or a better process, but and I've had my notes in front of me to be able to speak more articulate on it, but once it comes out of the water bath, then you're washing and cleaning all the chemical off, letting it sit for partial dry, and then you stretch it on a board for another X amount of days so that it starts to dry, and then you can pull it, stretch it, and make it soft leather after that. So
Seems like I just need to know somebody that knows how to do this. How you doing, Bill?
Yeah. Anytime. Absolutely anytime. If you want it done, I'd do it.
It does not sound like a process for my thought process patient pattern. Oh,
for me, it's right into my the OCD and everything else about me. I just love the challenge of making it work. And the next one I would do a little bit. I put too much leather softener on it halfway through the process, and it retained a little bit more oil than I would like to see. It didn't dry out as quickly as I wanted it to, but the next one, you know, I'll do a little bit differently, and hopefully I get a little bit better result. So
right on. So you cleaned out your first, so you got a lot more to do now, and then
I have your
European mounts on the on the skulls.
Yes.
You know, we got a method for that. Scott, you want to share the method on how we make European mounts?
Sure. We hang deer heads in my tree in the backyard.
Scott's got the tree of heads. Nothing can run away with this if it's hanging, and the birds will pick out the crap you don't want on there. The bugs will get inside. You're good to go. You leave them hang for, it's a long process. I mean, we have to go out there before we're
ready about May, June.
and your neighbors will let you know from the smell that they are ready by May. But I mean, it's very in depth. We go out there and check them at least, I don't know, once every 4 months, and make sure they're still hanging
daily from the window. Make sure the squirrels aren't eating them.
Oh, that breaks my heart. That breaks my heart.
And then if you want that nice white look, just don't get too close to it and put it somewhere high.
That reminds me, I got one hanging right outside the door in the tree right now.
Oh, yes, you do.
I have two hanging in the tree right now.
This one's not for a European mount. This one was a head you found, and that Todd wanted the antlers for rattling antlers, and pretty soon the skull is going to be gone and the antlers are going to be shed, so it's ready to come get anytime you want.
it's dual purpose though too. It also keeps the people you don't want knocking on your door away. They see skulls hanging in your tree, they're going to keep on going. Yeah, right on. Yeah, I got to get over there and get that. All right. What'd you do this week, Scotty?
Honestly, I just, worked all week. Fed the kids all week. Pretty much that was it. Work, eat, and sleep.
Yeah, no season open other than Coyote right now. It's hurtful.
Yeah.
I don't even want to ask. Sucked. Yeah. Bleh. I don't even want to ask Dad what he did.
I can tell you, I was busy, man. I was up every morning by 9, which is, I hate getting out of bed by 9 now, but I was. And went over to your place and was greeted with the kids, and it was great. We had breakfast, we had lunch, we'd do walks. And I'll tell you, it's surprising when you go on a walk with those two kids, what you learn, what their one thought. Tell you. And what a great week it was. In fact, my wife was just saying to me this morning, she's bored stiff. She's not leaving the house. All she's got is the TV. And I said, well, we'll be back at it Monday. The kids will keep you entertained again on Monday.
I can ship you up a couple of heads to do if you want.
Yeah, there you go.
We got lots of trees, Bill. Nothing but time. Yeah, truth. I work from home, so my parents came over. They said, hey, we'll come over and entertain the kids so you could keep doing work. And obviously, customers and stuff, it's tough getting new customers. So I got a lot done from my current customers and got all that work done. But yeah, as I'm working, I look over and Dad's passed out on the couch and Avery's got her doctor kit ready to go to town. that nice. Was my day, but I can't knock it. I was a little bit spoiled. Lunch was cooked every day.
Holy.
I did have to get my own coffee. We'll have to talk to Mom about that on Monday.
Yeah.
Check your contract. Come up earlier.
What's that?
Your mom has to show up earlier?
No, she texts me. Are the kids up yet? I said, nope, not yet. And then she shows up just as the oldest is getting up. My youngest likes to get up and wants to go work out with me downstairs. Can we go work out? Can we go work out? And she brings all her dolls down and sits them around. It's kind of creepy. They're all staring at me. But it's like being at the regular gym. So, hey.
They're not judgmental, though.
No, I feel like a piece of meat. They're just standing there staring at me.
So I will tell you, Bill had me going there for a minute when he said he cleaned out his freezer. I'm thinking, oh, all right, we're going to hear some great recipes. Bill said he found out in his head. That's what I've been doing. Like, all the restaurants are closed, and so I've been using my Instapot, and I've been doing venison steaks and venison roasts and everything I can find in the freezer. So we got suppers every night. Been eating home, and it's been marvelous. In fact, this morning, with nothing to do, I made a huge pot of cabbage soup and a huge pot of cream of vegetable soup. Put them in containers to freeze them. So
you are stinking, Mom, out the house.
This stuff is delicious.
Cabbage soup. That'll mask the heads hanging in the tree.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I will tell you though, I did when I was cleaning up the freezer find some stuff that I have no idea what it is.
So I'm gonna
unsaw it. Yeah, that's exactly what
it
is.
The redneck mystery meat.
Yep, I'm gonna unsaw it, and I'm hoping that I can cook it up. And oh yeah, that's what this is. I don't even remember putting that in the freezer.
I've got 2 cubic foot freezers downstairs. I've got to go through and figure out.
Definitely, the last time we went and got some ducks done and some really nice flight mounts, we were sure we had a black duck. Because you're only allowed one a season now, and we thought we had a black duck there to do, and I think it's lost in Todd's freezer, so we got to get in there.
There's a goose in there, too, with a half-white head.
There you go.
Oh, is there really?
Yeah. I thought that's pretty freaking cool, and I've got a snow goose mount. I've got mallards mounted. I've got wood ducks mounted. I have not got a Canada goose yet mounted, but now, yeah, it's the... The financial situation, you're going to kind of sit back and see what's going on first. But yeah, it's in there with a half-white head. I just thought that goose was pretty unique. I think you're the one that said, Scotty, that thing is pretty cool.
I remember that now. Yeah. I just forgot about it for a minute.
So it's in my freezer too. Yep. So I got to get down there and do that. Right on. All right. Well, and I can't say that I'm sitting here in my bathing suit. I can't say in the last week that I've done. I don't think I've even shaved. I got like 6-day growth and I don't care.
Okay. Nice.
We ever turn this into a video podcast, and we're gonna have some issues. But yeah, I've been living in this all week. I like it. Onesies and bathing suits.
It's tough, tough working from home, man.
Well, and it kind of is, but this week I had company. But yeah, aside from that, your day disappears pretty quick when you get on the computer, get doing some logos and stuff. But yeah, all right,
keeps you busy.
So this week, where are we going? I had an idea of trying on the spot and totally on the spot of thinking of your wildest or your craziest or a wild story, hunting, fishing, outdoors, whatever. Can we do it?
I think we can.
Silence.
Put a couple stories out there.
The brains are turning. See, folks, this is candid. This is how we roll.
Yes, I think your dad should go first.
Your dad should go first. Dad, have you got a story, wild story, something that crazy, something happened that you're like, I can't believe that just happened.
Well, yeah, but it's not unbelievable. I can remember having a turkey license left, and it was the last day of the season in May, and I'm thinking, okay, you guys were both tagged out. I got one left. And I just don't shoot Jake's. I allow them to walk. I don't even fill my last tag with Jake's. But this particular day was the last day of the season, and I was by myself. You guys were working, and I didn't even get up real early. I didn't even get up till 7:30, and I decided to drive out to a spot where we had permission to walk across the field to hunt the field behind, sit in a fence row, and this cornfield at the fence row on one side, and then it went into a cornfield. But the cornfield had a finger go out into it, so it made like a little, if it was water, it would have been a little bay, a little alcove. And we knew that there was turkeys to the right. We'd heard them all the time, and we'd shot turkeys in that little bit of a woods to the left.
This is the same woods that I snuck you into, and we had that turkey almost land on our feet. We had it roosted.
That's the one. That's the one. But I'm sitting on the field, and that woods came out into the field and made this little cornfield alcove. So I'm just sitting in the fence row there, hunkered down, enjoying the sun, a nice warm day, last day of May. It was a beautiful day, and I'm not really thinking I'll see anything, but I'm thinking, okay, this is kind of neat. Sit here for the day and watch the sun come up, and or it already came up, but just watch the day unfold. And I wasn't there an hour or so, and I catch movement out of the right side of my eye, and here comes this hen strutting down the middle of the field. And it was trotting a little bit, and then it carried on across to the other side, and then it stood right on the edge of the woods, and I could almost shoot across. It was probably about 70, 80 yards across. You could almost shoot across, but not quite. And it stood on the edge and kept looking back, and it was real birdy and nervous, and then it disappeared, and I thought, wow, I wonder if there might be a tom chasing that bird. So I just got real ready, got my gun up, and I'm sitting there, but it's another 15 minutes before anything I see moving. And right out of the fence row, not 10 yards beside me, steps these three Jakes. And they were like a gang of teenagers looking for trouble. They were pushing each other and shoving each other and just pecking at each other. And I thought, well, that's what that hen was running away from. And I watched them for quite a while. They finally moved out in front of me. And I thought, you know what? This is really, really neat. These three Jakes there, they don't even know I'm here. And I got one tag in my pocket. I'm not going to get another chance. And remember this story, I'm going to take one of these Jakes. So I just really slowly put the gun on the one and dropped them. He had not a bad beard. It was about a 4 or 5 inch beard, but they weren't big birds by any means, just Jakes. And he dropped, and them other two just stood there and looked at each other. Well, they beat him up for a while, then they started beating each other up for a while, and then they kind of carried on, and I just thought that was one terrific finish to a season, and I mounted that tail and took a picture, and every time I come downstairs, it's right at the bottom of the stairs, and I look at that picture and I smile, because I remember that day, and I will always remember it. Even though it was a Jake, they made my day. It was awesome.
So that is kind of cool. So the takeaway from my standpoint is you didn't get up till 7:30 plus.
No.
So, that's at the end of the season when you need to be getting up by like 3.
Right. So how many people think when they go turkey hunt, if you sleep in, you're like, screw it, I'm just going to stay in bed. I'm not going now. Right.
That's totally me.
And dad blew that out of the water, that just get in the woods. And then to be sitting there not that long and have something come walking by. Well, that's kind of cool. But then he's excited to shoot a Jake. I want to know if you post a picture of you with that Jake, how much you'd get beat up on social media. And he's excited because that's what matters, right? Is a trophy to you is a trophy to you. We've talked about that before.
That's right.
But that's kind of cool.
Oh yeah. There was no question in my mind. This was one of the highlight hunts I ever had, to see these three Jakes come out right so close and just, you know, act like a bunch of kids. And I just enjoyed watching them. And I thought, okay, I'm going to fill my tag because I'm not going to remember this day and I'm not going to get a chance to fill it otherwise. And And the other two walked finally. They left finally. And as far as I know, they're still there to this day because I don't think we've gone back since then. To that particular place.
No, I don't think we have. Right on.
Yes.
I've had that where in bow season, I've been in a tree stand and I've had about 15 to 20. I didn't count them. Toms come through and all together. Cause that time of year, they're all the toms are walking and you could hear them. And I'm thinking, here comes a deer. And all I can hear coming through the woods. And I looked down and there had to be a line of 15 and they are single file. Toms just crushing through the bush in the leaves. And I'd say every 5 to 6 steps, one would turn around and kick the one behind it. And then that one would run forward and kick one, two up in front of it. And then one there would run back and they do. They come through like a gang and they just beat each other up the whole way through. And I thought, holy geez, they're just a bunch of irritated little turds coming through the bush. But I know what you're talking about.
And they're certainly not quiet.
Oh, gosh, no. They don't care about nothing.
They make a ton of noise coming through that bush. Almost to your point where you'd think it was something much bigger.
Oh, I thought, here comes some deer. We're ready to rock. Bows in hand. And nope, here comes a line of turkeys. No doubt. All right. Where are we going next, Bill?
No, I got one, but I can tell my story if you want.
Yeah.
My two, and I tossed around a couple in my head for the last couple minutes while your dad was talking, and I got a moose hunting story that was pretty good. But I think the one that people wouldn't believe if I didn't have partial video of it was my turkey hunting story from a couple of years back. And a couple of years back, I'm going to say five for the sake of the story, I wanted to challenge myself a little bit more because the almost guy in me doesn't get enough challenge to begin with. So I found a block of bush where back onto crown land, not too far from here actually, and it was a hay field, probably about a 30-acre farm, and on that farm about 10 acres was a hay field. And springtime comes around, and I'm gonna film my own bow hunting on the ground turkey hunt. So you can imagine how hard turkey hunting could be from a movement perspective, and everything is amplified when you get a longbow, not a crossbow at this time, because I do hunt with crossbow. Insert Todd's comment now.
We don't judge, Bill. We don't. I mean, the almost guy, I'm willing to give you as much advantage as you could take.
Yeah, and I tell you,
he's shooting bolts that are dynamite, by the way, folks. He lights them before he pulls the trigger. You miss by 2 feet, it don't matter. Trees are coming down, stuff's dying.
Plus or minus a house brick, we're good. So I get in. Real early, I knew this block of bush was, in this about 10-acre hay field, the surrounding bush held birds. And I'd seen birds earlier in the season when I was with my daughter. I brought her out. And, you know, we never capitalized on it, but I went by myself this one particular morning. And so I'm sitting on the ground. I got my compound bow in hand. I find myself a little cut. About three to 5 yards back off the field itself, put my decoy out to my left because I want to make sure that turkey walks by in front of me, walks by in front of the camera, and then I get a nice shot off to my left. Well, sun comes up. Two or three toms had gobbled. I woke the birds up with some calls, and all of a sudden, I can see a bird 150 yards out to the back end of the field fly down out of the tree and into the field. And it's a nice tom. Well, I'm calling at this bird, and all of a sudden, off to my right hand, off my right shoulder behind me, I sense movement. And sure enough, you can hear this bird coming through the bush behind me. So 150 yards directly in front of me, I've got a tom that's in the field. Directly behind me, probably 25, 30 yards at this point in time, I'm looking around and here comes a hen. Great, this is awesome. So this hen comes through the bush behind me and I'm calling a little bit and then I keep quiet because I don't want to spook this hen, which may be a live decoy coming in front of me so that this tom could come through the field. Well, what happens next was just absolutely unbelievable to me. This hen comes about 8 yards behind me and starts to lay eggs. I counted six. The craziest thing I've ever had. This hen comes, hunkers herself down into a little block of bush that conceals her from behind. Like I could see her full on, and she was about 8 yards right there over my shoulder, laying eggs, and had no clue at all I was there. So I watched and watched, and she finished laying eggs, and then started to walk away from me directly towards this Tom. So as if that wasn't neat enough, right?
You know, yeah. You get so she laid him and didn't even, she didn't sit on the nest right away or nothing. She laid him and then got up and walked away.
Yep.
I'm so curious. It's like, you're David Suzuki for me right now. Was she making any noises while she was doing this?
Like, nope, nothing. Little chirps, little clucks, little noise, nothing that I would call, you know, giving birth noises.
You didn't run over and help her with hold her wing.
Yeah. Can you breathe a little differently here? I can sense you're in struggle right now. No. But yeah, I think it was a 4 to 6. I can't remember the number, but there was definitely eggs, 4 to 6 eggs she ate, and she had no clue I was there, and then walked about the same distance in the bush that I was, about 3 to 5 yards, and then walked direct parallel to that hay field back towards where that Tom was. So, like I said, as if that wasn't cool enough, this Tom is still in the back of the bush, and now he's met up with another hen in the back of that field. So now I'm watching the whole thing unfold in front of me, where this Tom is courting a hen back there, gobbling his head off, chasing this one hen to the left of the field, chasing the one hen to the or chasing her to the right side of the field. And I'm thinking, this is the coolest thing ever. I got it all on video somewhere. So now the fun starts, because as if this wasn't fun, and this is going across about 45 minutes an hour. So I get aggressive on the calls and see, maybe, just maybe, I can break that Tom off the hen. And that to me is tough.
Good luck.
Everybody that's turkey hunting for a long enough time knows that if you got two live hens and a Tom that's actively going back and forth between the two, the chances of you breaking that Tom off is slim to none. Well, I didn't break that Tom off, but what did happen then was the hens come up the field towards where those eggs were, right? She came back. So she met up with the second hen that was in the field, and now they're coming. And I'm thinking, I've got a shot at this Tom. So I'm on my chair. I've got the video camera in between my legs, with on the tripod, pointing towards the field, getting down, and I need that bird, that Tom, to come past the camera, and then I could have a full draw shot with the compound. And that bird gobbled his head off all the way up the field. The hens were there, and that bird did not crest in front of that camera. It needed to take 5 more steps in front.
Now, were you not shooting just because you wanted it on film?
No. Well, that's a good question. No, I didn't have the shot because the camera being in between my legs, I wasn't smart enough to get the camera out of a shooting path. The camera was in my way, and I couldn't move the camera because the bird was that close. I couldn't move my bow to the other side. I couldn't shift myself around to get around the camera. This is the almost guy in me, right? You know, I get to a point where I got a real cool experience of a hen laying eggs, the Tom chasing two hens back and forth across the field, fully puffed up 15 yards right out in front of me, directly like at basically 12 o'clock if you're looking, you know, at the clock. And it needed to come another 5-6 steps to get beyond the camera so I could come the full draw and have a shot right there. And I never got the shot at that Tom. So real cool experience, probably something that nobody would believe unless, you know, they saw, you know, the eggs or the camera, the video. But that was one of the cooler experiences that I've ever had out in the woods. And it happened to be an almost guy experience. So there you go.
That's pretty cool. Laying eggs, right? That is pretty cool. I've never seen a hen lay them. Me and Scotty have chased a coyote off of a creeping up on a hen nest. You remember that, Scott? We could see it across the field and just 20 yards in the woods. And this coyote, we knew where a hen was nested, and this coyote was putting the stock down. And so we busted it over there and got rid of him. Scared yep. him away.
Yeah, I remember that day.
All right.
That's cool. All right.
Scott,
you're up.
Scott's up.
I'm up. I don't know which story to tell. I have two.
Well, and so do I. And I've been sitting here thinking as you guys talk, we're going to have to do like a part one, part two, because I got four that I could think of off the top of my head. Believe it or not, they're all.
I have a trout fishing one.
Well, and we heard your trout fishing one, right?
Yeah. And then, last season.
Truly is unbelievable because the turkey or the trout season when people were on Facebook, like, whatever. I'm like, yeah, we need to lie about this.
That's right. Exactly.
I posted the story. I was so cranked up about it. But you want to hear that one, folks? Go back and listen to our trout fishing, trout hunting podcast.
Trout hunting, yeah.
All right. All right, go. What's it? So what one? You wanted the deer one then?
So last season, yeah, deer hunting, sitting in my stand, and I have seen some deer and deer coming, and I shot a deer, and that deer we let go lie down, and then
that was the buck that is in our very first podcast that we ever did. Right?
Yep. Yep. Okay. That's right.
I'm with you.
And then, it's kind of a short story. It's really kind of simple and easy, but
that's so. Hold on. We didn't expect anything else from you, introvert.
That was not for me. That's right. They're all easy. They're all
Scott,
simple.
Talk. All right. Here's my 10 words. You better be listening.
I got to talk slow, right? So yeah, at the end of the hunt there, we were talking to Todd, and Todd said, yeah, it's time to go find that deer. And so I'm not quiet anymore. I don't need to be. I'm throwing my gun case out of the tree.
anymore from like, do you mean from the last 20 years, like 20 years ago anymore?
I'm always quiet.
Ninja. I know. Ninja Scotty. Puts that face mask on. Look out. It's like,
disappears
into the smoke.
So yeah, I take my Ozonix down, and then that's not quiet, and I throw everything out of the tree, throw my gun case out, throw my cushion out, it all hits the ground, and you know, so it's not a quiet ordeal anymore. My hunt, I'm figuring, is done. It's over. Climb down into my tree stand, and I hear some noise behind me, and I turn around, and there's this doe, and it's running right at me. It scared me so bad, I swore and thought I was going to die. It was insane. And I'm the one with a loaded gun. I could have shot that deer. I was in so much shock, I didn't even pull the trigger.
So, folks, camouflage does work. Because if that deer did not see Scott, it was either blind.
It had to be blind. I was wearing orange.
Oh, you were too. It was controlled on. It likes pumpkins. See, there. People say, do you bait deer with pumpkins? There's your evidence, folks. It likes pumpkins. Fresh pumpkin just put out. I'm coming at you.
Which, by the way, you also posted a picture of your dad, the great pumpkin in a tree. That same year.
But it looked like a pumpkin in the tree.
You're not hiding from nobody in that.
I always hang out with people that have gun licenses because they can't punch me or they'll lose their gun license. So how close did that deer get?
Oh, I don't know, 5 yards?
Because I remember when you five told yards. Me this story, you're like, I swore out loud. I screamed.
I out loud. I screamed like a little schoolgirl. I thought I was dying that day. I was going to run over by a deer.
That'd be a cool way to go, though.
Absolutely.
And we'd have one heck of a hunting story. So he got 5 yards from you? Is that what you said?
Yeah, about 5 yards.
And then you screamed.
Incredible. I screamed, and it halted. It stopped. And then it turned and run, and I never even thought to shoot it. I could have shot it. I could have shot it right in the chest. I could have shot it. I didn't. I was in shock.
So did it stop and stare
yards,
at you?
It stopped.
Yeah.
What's that?
At 5 yards, did it stop and stare at you?
For a millisecond. Yep. And then turn and run.
It was gone.
This pumpkin's still alive.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't know. We could have ended the season quicker.
That would have been it right there. If you'd had wherewithal. We ended up tagging out, but that could have been the one that could have been done earlier. Oh, that's too funny.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, man.
So what do you got?
All right, I got a whack load, but I'm going to – and that's why I say we got to make this two parts because I want to tell them all. I used to – every Sunday before church, before gun season, before you could Sunday gun hunt – in our area now we have Sunday gun hunting – I'd take my bow and I would go out. And so I've got a story where I've had a hen. And I'm kneeling in the field, and this hen, I'm just sitting there going, don't peck my eyes out. Don't peck my eyes out. Don't. It's that close. Like, it's breathing on me. So I got that story. And the reason was because there was a Tom, and I don't want to give away too much. And then I've got so many that are just so much, so exciting. One with Dad, I know me and Dad got chased by a Tom, and we actually ran away. So, and we took a Dad. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah. So, well, I'll save that one too, because that was a good one. The other one was one of Dad's first turkeys. I had already shot one, and then I went for a walk, seen one, came back and got him, and Dad got Dad, and we crept Dad, army crawled through weeds, and I'll save that one. And like I said, they're all turkey stories just because we do get pretty crazy with our turkey, right? So those are the ones that are unbelievable. But I think the one I want to share, because people are like, yeah, you're full of crap. But I had two witnesses, and I was my Tom that is actually 16th largest in the province of Ontario. I'm in the book with it. And not even thinking, it was years later that we were going to a show and I had it measured. I have it mounted. And so I took it in to get measured, and it turns out it's 16th, but, cause it's got like 2-inch hooks on it. But we were sitting there in the what I'll call the honey hole. And that's where last year, if you listen to our other turkey hunt podcast, Scotty, on opening day, me and Dad went and sat in what Dad calls the cut, and, Scotty shot a Tom. One of us will shoot a Tom in the first week out of this woods. Scott's had, I don't know, 6-7 Jakes run by and like Tom strut all around. Like, it's just the spot. So it was getting later in the season because we hadn't hit this spot. We didn't haunt this spot as much as we do now back then. And Scott had a meeting for work that he had to be at 10 o'clock. And so Scott said, you know, I'm not going to, he was on the committee, and so he couldn't come. And so I had another buddy that had never turkey hunted before and was just, I don't think he had his gun license yet, but he was about to get it or had scheduled it. And he wanted to see what turkey hunting was. So me and Dad went out and we took him, and we said, man, you're going to hear gobbling for miles. One sounds off and you're going to hear it clean through. It's just insane. You're going to see so many turkeys, yada, yada, yada. And now he had a hard stop because he worked at the same place as Scotty. So he had to be at that same meeting, but he wasn't on the committee, so he didn't have to be there as early. So he come out, I gave him some of my leafy suit camo. I got a couple suits and my kids throw on when they come. So I threw that on him. Dad came, and we have a robotic hen decoy that you push a button and it's just kind of creeps up and down like it's feeding. And so we stuck that 20 yards down, but right in line along the tree line. And we're facing this big field in that same corner, in the magic corner, we'll call it. And so we're in some pine trees on the ground with a blind around us and sitting in some chairs, fairly well covered, and put that out. And then we put another hen out that you just sits there, nothing special. And so we were sitting there and there wasn't one gobble. One, never seen a turkey, never heard a gobble, nothing. And so
you pumped this spot up to be the best thing since sliced bread, and not one noise
comes out of the woods. And I'm thinking, here's this dude's first time ever going hunting. And that's why we're going to the spot where crap's going to happen. And if we don't shoot a turkey, you're at least going to hear him and see him. And nothing at all. I couldn't believe it. Never have I sat there and not, this was probably the first time I'd sat there and not heard a gobble in the morning. And so we sat there for a long time, and we're getting bored. And so Dad's asleep, and it's sitting on my left, and this gentleman's on my right, and we're just kind of hanging out. Nothing's happening. And like, what, you can't, even as crazy as we get when we go turkey hunting, you can't make things happen if there's not even gobbling. I mean, you need to know right. roughly where the birds are, because you start to go, and if they are in the woods and they're being silent that day, you're going to scare them, spook them, push them, whatever. So, I mean, there is some kind of I guess, self-discipline that we have to exert a little bit. So we're sitting there. Well, it gets to be probably 9 o'clock. And I mean, we were in there since five. And my buddy says, "Hey, look, there goes a turkey." And I look up, and at 65 yards, this tom is crossing the field we're sitting in. And this field rolled. So it was the first time we seen it was right out in front of us. And he's close to the woods. He's probably 20 yards out. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm scattering to grab the remote control for that hen. And I hit the button, and it starts rocking up and down. He doesn't even care. And so I start calling. Doesn't even care. Keeps on walking right to the woods.
You think he could hear you?
I guarantee it. I mean, 65 yards, not a problem. Just didn't care. And I don't remember if he stopped. Dad, do you remember if he even stopped and looked at us, or he just kept walking?
No, he just kept walking and over the knoll.
Oh, yeah, over the knoll and then disappeared in the woods, gone. I'm like, I don't, we sit here for 3-4 hours and we finally see a turkey and it doesn't even care. What is going on? So now I'm like, normally, okay, I'd get up and go after that guy. Now we're going back some serious amount of years though, but that I wasn't that I'm going after him. Nowadays, I wouldn't even have second guessed it. I'd have been gone. But so I sat there and thought, oh, well, I guess we just sit a little bit longer. I mean, I got Dad and my buddy here with me that I can't just get up and leave them. We'll just chill. So we just sat there chilling, and it was another half an hour, 35 minutes. And my buddy says, "Hey, there's another turkey." And I look up and it's the same one, but now he's coming back and he's still out there at a good 65 plus yards. And so I'm going, okay, great. Now what do I do? So he's slowly walking. He's going to disappear behind a knoll, coming back into the same field. Hit the button again on the decoy. Doesn't care. I call. This time he stops. He stretches his neck straight up and looks at me. And now again, going back some years, I had only shot turkeys up to about 40 yards at this point. That 65 yards, I had not taken a shot that long. And I've been told, and everybody says, you know, it's unethical, don't shoot that far, yada, yada, yada. Okay, so I'm trying to get him closer. He looks, stretches his neck up, looks right in at us. We're not moving. He turns and walks directly away from us. Ugh. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? So I look down at Dad, and now I'm distraught. We got a time limit. Like, we've got maybe 20 minutes at the most. We got to get out of here because we got to get my buddy to this meeting that Scott's at in town, and we're 20 minutes from town. So I'm like, man, I looked at Dad. I said, Dad, do you care if I go? And we can watch. It's walking away really slow, dead away from us. And I said, Dad, do you care if I go after that? And he goes, what? You ain't going to catch no turkey. Okay, but do you care? Do you care? Like, what do we got to lose? And I'm pleading my case. I don't care what you do. All right. So I get up, I climb over. Now the field rolled in knolls, right? So, I mean, there's little valleys and high spots. And so I got out, climb over the blind, grab my gun, and I start going, and I'm walking quick. And I get over the first knoll, and I'll be darned if there's not six hens right there, probably 20 yards from us, not making a sound till I get up over the first knoll, and they look at me. And some, they start running, a couple start flying. Well, the tom stops, looks back, stretches right up, turns his head with his back still to me and sees me, and he starts booking it. But instead of running straight away from me, he runs to the right towards the woods over there. And it's a good size field. I don't know, Scotty, across that field, 150, 200 yards.
Oh yeah. A couple hundred easy. A
couple hundred. Yeah. So he's got 150, I'd say, before he's at the woods. I start running, and I mean, I am hauling it. And this field is, it's spring, but it's been plowed. And so not super plowed, but it's rough. It's tough to run it. I'm in boots, big Irish setter, 1600 gram thinsulate pack boots. And so I am hauling it across this field. That tom is flat out booking it across this field straight to that woods. Well, I figure, holy crap, he's only got about 10 more steps and he's going to disappear. And I just took 2 steps, threw the gun up, pulled the trigger as I swung through, and I'm shooting an 870 pump at this time, back in the day. I pulled the trigger and keep swinging through. And he's still running. I actually shucked the shell. I took two more steps, and just as he was on the edge of the woods, I put the gun up again, and that's when my shot caught him, and he barrel rolls three times. No lie, and he's down. I could not believe it. My first shot hit him, and I was swinging so much to throw that shot string across his body without even thinking. I mean, it's all instinct at this time because all this is happening so fast, just split seconds. And he ended up barrel rolling to the point where I shucked my gun and took two steps and was putting it up again to take one more shot as he was going to disappear into the pines on that side. And that's when he rolled over. And I turned around, looked at Dad and my buddy, and I start fist pumping. Well, because the way that field rolled, where I'm standing now is where those hens would have been in that little valley. And I'm fist pumping. They can just see my upper body. And Dad goes, yeah, right. You're pulling our leg. Come help us pack up. Like, literally. Am I right, Dad?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Dad did not. He's like, whatever. Let's go. You're just pulling our legs. Let's get out of here. And I'm like, no, it's down. Whatever. Well, I'll be darned. So Dad gets up and comes. My buddy gets up and he comes running, and there it is laying there. No way. So Dad goes over and my buddy gets his phone out and starts taking pictures. And it wasn't quite dead, dead. Dad steps on its head. Sorry, folks, but it is what it is. And it starts doing the flapping on. And my buddy, Dad, you have that picture of you standing on it and its wings in full motion flapping, because my buddy took pictures of it. Yeah. And across this foggy field. And it went over. Well, we paced it off. And Dad, I think you said you paced off 77 paces.
Yeah, from where it laid. You obviously hit it from where you hit 70 yards.
Yeah. Yep. So
holy smoke.
The shot hit it probably 70, 72 yards, because Dad's pretty generous on his paces. I mean, he's taking big steps. And so I bet you it was 70 plus yards anyway. And I tell them, people like, there's no way you hit that, Tom, on the run at 70 something paces, blah, blah, blah. It totally did. Two witnesses to back it up. So we got took the pictures and load it up, take it into the meeting. Well, we get there, 5 minutes before your meeting started, Scotty? And everybody's coming out to see this giant. And I mean, he's got 2-inch hooks on him, a good sized beard. It was a good turkey. It was 16th in Ontario.
So, 2-inch spurs. That's incredible.
So it's pretty wicked.
We got two really good pictures from your buddy there. The one, well, where I'm standing on its head and the wings are in full motion. You can see the blur in the picture. But the other, we were walking out. We had to walk out this pathway through the woods. And it was kind of still a misty, foggy morning. And the mist was hanging in the trees in the woods, and he took a picture from behind us, you with the bird in your backpack type thing there, and we're walking out side by side, and I have that one blown up to, I don't know, probably about 12 by 18, and it's just like a calendar picture on the wall.
Nice.
It's just a beautiful picture, yeah.
Yeah, the bird in my backpack with the orange flag, and away we go out, yep. Yep, no, it was pretty cool. It was neat to run down the tom. I think it was around 25 and a half to 26 pounds. I don't totally remember. Dad, I don't know if you remember. It's probably written down somewhere.
It was a good-sized bird. It was an old bird, too.
Well, yeah, and I was telling my buddy, man, you've never tasted anything till you have turkey. Hey, wild turkey tastes so good. Da-da-da-da-da. Well, we got that thing home, and, oh, it was tough, wasn't it, Dad? It was.
We couldn't cook the legs long enough.
You know, it was. I'm like, everything about this hunt, my man, is totally not turkey hunting. You'd normally hear gobbling in the trees, I swear. You wouldn't sit there for that long without seeing one. You don't chase them down. And they're normally pretty tender and taste pretty good. This dude was shoe leather, but it was an awesome. I mean, to say I ran down, if you could say that, I'm using air quotes, but to say I ran down a tom was totally awesome. And I mean, I've even got stories in that same field of army crawling across and having hens stand right on top of me with the tom coming in behind them. And I'm army crawling with my gun in front of me across that same field. That's why I said, I got so many stories. We'll have to do a part two, but that one was probably one of the ones for me to remember. It was just awesome.
That's pretty cool.
It wasn't up so until that. I mean, it was 4 hours of boredom until you got to that point.
That's a lot of what hunting is sometimes, too. At deer hunting, there's no different. You get all that boredom sometimes met with about 15 seconds worth of action.
It's true.
Scott,
it's true.
Yeah. Running over.
And I'll say 20 years ago, that was probably the majority of our hunting time. And I don't know if it was the fact that we weren't that versed, Scotty, when we go bow hunting, that we weren't that awesome or great, or I don't know. It sounds like we're tooting our horns, but back then, I mean, it was tough hunting for me. I want to go? But now I attribute it a lot to the spots we have, the land that we hunt, and knowing now it took us a long time to learn the pattern of those deer. But now we've made it so deer hunting's not that boring. I mean, we're passing up so many in the early season. But that's what makes it's still exciting to us. You get the does walking in or the small bucks, and you're it's still, you know, there's something happening. You're not just sitting there like that morning, 4 hours goes by and you don't even see a squirrel. Like, oh,
that's tough.
And that's
tough to keep interested in.
It is. And that's what I want to impress upon. The reason I say that is anybody starting out, I mean, don't give up because of that. That 15 seconds is worth it. Trust me.
Absolutely.
When it actually happens, that 15 seconds is worth it. But as you start to learn the woods you hunt, as you start to learn the pattern of the deer or the turkeys and know where they go and how they work, and as you get a little more confident and comfortable and make things happen yourself, hunting gets a lot more fun.
You got to put your time in, and everybody's had those days where it seems like forever, but when it all comes together and finally clicks and works, that's just amazing. There's nothing that can compare to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Right on. So I think we saved some of these stories and we'll have a part two, because I got some more that are pretty exciting as well. They keep coming to mind. I'll have to write down so I don't forget them. But
You have to write them down. Funny.
In bullet point form and have like a structured, forget it. Nope, we're going off the cuff. Sorry, Bill, we're gonna push your envelope. Continue. We're this is like 15 episodes in, and we are if you haven't been cured of OCD, it ain't gonna happen, but we're not gonna stop trying.
I know it'll take some time, but I'm starting to crack a little bit here. So
when you sit around a campfire, you don't have point forms, you just go.
You're absolutely right. Go where it takes us. Absolutely.
All right. Well, I think that's it for this week. Thanks for listening, everybody. I enjoyed it.
Okay, that'll do it for today. So until next time, on behalf of Redneck Country Podcast, I'm Bill Tom.
I'm Todd Millard. And Scott Goodall?
Nope, I'm good.
Thanks for listening, everybody. If you want to be part of the podcast, by all means, hit us up at podcast@theredneckcountry.com. Again, that's podcast@theredneckcountry.com. And be part of it. Join us and have a blast. I hope you enjoyed it. Sitting around the campfire having some fun.